Thanks, Dave. We're going to go right back into prayer and just welcome the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are welcome here. And I don't want this to just be words on a page or words out of my mouth. I would love this to be your Holy Spirit speaking to us right in our heart. I give this service fully to you, God, for it's all about you. It is all about you, and you are so good. So, Lord, I pray that you would flow through this room, that you would touch hearts, that you would change lives with your amazing love, and give me the words to speak, and let me know that, yeah, my outline is good, but your words are way better. So I just ask for freedom in that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have a speech today. And I like to call it a speech, not a sermon. That's a personal thing. Anyway, so I'm just going to call it a speech the whole time. Can we get that up? That'd be great. I'm using PowerPoint. I haven't done that in a long time, so bear with me if it's a little rocky. There we go. all right, so before I even start, I just want to say to you guys that I have a lot of notes and words, but what I'm really hoping is that you will feel the love of God and know that beyond anything. So if anything I say doesn't gel with that, don't take it. Because I just want you guys to know how much Father God loves you, really loves you. So that's the basis here. All right, so my speech is called The Garden. And about 2 months ago, I planted my own garden for the second time ever. So definitely not a green thumb. But I love my garden. And about 2 weeks after that, I woke up one morning. Sean can attest to this. I was like, oh, I got inspiration. And it's all about the garden, and it's good. And he said, yeah, that sounds really good. Write it down. So it took me a little while, but I finally wrote it down this week. And I would love to share that with you. So often, Jesus used parables about planting, about reaping, about sowing, and growing. And there's treasure in that. I really believe that. And I would love to share my point of view with you guys. So I have 4 points to share with you guys. If you're a note taker like I am, you can get out your little notepads or iPads, or I'm totally old school that way. I love the paper to pen. So anyways, if you'd like to, you can. So our first point here is our potential. This was very important to me, how rich our potential is. And there was a gentleman who spoke here a while back. He was talking about seeds and life and reaping and growing. And so, what was his name? Albert Zayer from Alberta? BC. Out west. And this really is kind of just a little bit more of what he was sharing. So that seed, that tiny seed. In Matthew 17, verse 20 here, it says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. We often look at that verse for the faith aspect, which is awesome. But we're going to take a closer look. We're going to take a look at the size. So I don't know if you can see that. I mean, probably. If you look at that seed, how truly tiny it is. Really, take a look at that for a second. It's tiny. And then all the potential of the tree to the right. That tiny seed grows into that tree. If any of you are parents, if you've watched The Lorax, pretty good movie. Anyways, in there, he says, that's not just a seed any more than you're just a boy or a girl. And it's so true. All the greatness God has in store for you and everything he made you to be is already in you. Just like that seed, that whole tree, that massive tree that has branches that hold the nest for the birds, is already in that tiny seed. just like our potential. It's already in us. God put it in us. In fact, from the moment you were conceived, he knew. He made you in his image and for a beautiful purpose. And if you know what that purpose is, that's fantastic. But if you're like a lot of us who maybe don't quite know what that purpose is yet, I'm here to tell you that's not only okay, but that you can trust that it is good. That it is good. Let me share two verses with you. In Psalm 139, verse 16, it says, "You see all things. You saw me growing, changing in my mother's womb. Every detail of my life was already written in your book. You established the length of my life before I ever tasted the sweetness of it." All that potential, that's in us from the second we are conceived. That's pretty awesome. And I know you've heard this verse before, but it bears worth repeating. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Eternal. Plans for peace, not evil. To give you future and hope." Never forget that. So often we judge a book by its cover, or a person by their current circumstances, or their past transgressions. When if we would do the same to plants, we would starve, really. We would not eat. Look at that tiny seed. It's so small. It's not colorful. It's not beautiful. It's hard. It's tiny. Look at it. The seed cannot accomplish much, really. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, we know that. Let's hear it straight from Jesus' mouth. In Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted it in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches." In God's kingdom, we have no right to judge a person by their past or current circumstances. And that includes ourselves. We often think, "Oh, I've done this and this and this. That means I'm not going to do anything great. This is my past. This is my label. This is what happened to me. I have nothing to give." I'm living proof that that is a lie, a bold-faced lie. Jesus also used many people to bear much fruit that had very messy pasts. Let me show you. That's smaller than I thought it would be. Okay. It says, "Do you seriously think God can't use you?" Let's look in the Bible. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Who here has been afraid? I've been afraid. I'm constantly always fighting fear, right? But perfect love casts out fear. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. How many of you young people have ever thought, "I'm just 13. I can't really do anything." Or, "I'm just 20. I really have no life experience." "I'm just 25. I'm just 30. Whatever it is, I'm just 8. We often are so quick to label ourselves, "I'm too young." But there is no age in the kingdom of heaven. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Didn't know that till I read this. Jonah ran from God. Don't we all run from God from time to time? Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. Ladies, worrying? Do we struggle with that? Like a rocking chair, always worrying, feeling like we're going somewhere. Really, we're not. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. Come on. If that doesn't stop us. Really, really. All the potential in that tiny seed to grow into a massive tree. That is the potential we carry because God made us for a purpose. We all have incredible potential. My second point. So you have that little seed, but now we need some proper growing conditions. We can all see that tiny mustard seed can grow into a huge tree, but how? Do we take that tiny seed and place it on a table? Does it grow? Do we place it under a bed? Do we place it on the carpet here? No. It needs proper growing conditions. As do we. Jesus shares a brilliant parable that I'm going to share with you now too. If you have your Bible, please turn to Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. Too far. Interestingly as well, this is Jesus' first parable. All right, so Matthew 13, verse 3 to 9. And just so, in case you guys are wondering, what Bible is she reading from? It's called The Voice. I do recommend it. I love it. But I mean, NIV is fantastic as well. So just in case you're like, I'm not same words. It's The Voice. So Jesus is talking. Once there was a sower who scattered seeds. One day he walked in a field, scattering seeds as he went. Some seeds fell beside a road, and a flock of birds came and ate all those seeds. So the sower scattered seeds in a field, one with shallow soil and strewn with rocks. But the seeds grew quickly amid all the rocks, without rooting themselves in the shallow soil. Their roots got tangled up in all the stones. The sun scorched these seeds, and they died. And so the sower scattered seeds near a path, this one covered with thorny vines. The seeds fared no better there. The thorns choked them, and they died. And so finally, the sower scattered his seeds in a patch of good earth. At home in the good earth. Let me read that again. At home in the good earth. The seeds grew and grew. Eventually, the seeds bore fruit, and the fruit grew ripe and was harvested. The harvest was immense. 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. That's good. The basic point of this parable is that where you plant the seed is very important. That's the first proper growing condition is the soil. In Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, God's blessings follow you and await you at every turn. When you don't follow the advice of those who delight in wicked schemes, when you avoid sin's highway, when judgment and sarcasm beckon you, but you refuse. For you, God's word is your happiness. It is your focus from dusk till dawn. You are like a tree planted by flowing, cool streams of water that never run dry. Your fruit ripens in its time. Your leaves never fade or curl in the summer sun. No matter what you do, you prosper. The soil is the environment around us. Being born and growing up, our soil can be anything. We've been born in harsh, rocky soil with chaos surrounding us and weeds all around. We may have grown up in pretty neutral soil, kind of soft with rocks here and there. Stuff kind of grows on its own, but not really thought out. Or maybe you were raised in light, well, fertilized soil and encouraged to grow big and strong with no fear to dream big. Whatever soil we started in, though, we can now choose what environment we surround ourselves in. What do we do with most of our time? What do we focus on? What goals have we set for ourselves, if any? And very importantly, what other plants have we allowed into our soil? Do we have a ton of weeds? Or are we surrounded by other great bloomers? Pun intended. We do have a choice with all of these. And the good news is that if we aren't in the proper soil conditions or the environment that we want to be in, we can pick ourselves up and transplant elsewhere. We really can. So what makes good soil in our lives anyways? How do we know if we're in the right place? Well, back to Jesus' first parable, Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23, he explains. This is what the parable of the sower means. It is about the kingdom of heaven. When someone hears the story of the kingdom and cannot understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away whatever goodness and holiness has been sown in the heart. This is like the seeds sown beside the road. You know people who hear the word of God and receive it joyfully, but then somehow the word fails to take root in their hearts. It is temporary. Just so you know, I've definitely been there. As soon as there is trouble for those people, they trip. Those people are the seeds strewn on the rocky soil. And you know people who hear the word, but it is choked inside them because they constantly worry and prefer the wealth and pleasures of the world. Those people are like the seeds sown among thorns. The people who hear the word and receive it and grow in it, those are like the seeds sown on good soil. They produce a bumper crop 30 or 60 or 100 times what was sown. The last sentence tells us, hear the word, receive it, and grow in it. This takes much more than just coming to church on Sunday or thinking good thoughts. It takes our own time and effort to take time with God, to study what he's trying to tell you. Kind of sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? Is it worth it? It is the most worthwhile thing you will ever do. Really, really, really. And what are we promised with this lifelong pursuit of knowing God more? We are promised something. Not double the fruit, not triple the fruit, but 30 or 60 or 100 times what you sow. That's good news. That's good news. And that's the soil. So now we've taken our tiny little seed full of amazing potential and we've planted it in good soil. What else does it need? Water. Whether it's rain or a stream, all plants need water to not only survive, but to grow well. This I likened, I thought about it for a while and then I came up, okay, I'm going to liken this to the Holy Spirit for a few reasons. After you've planted your seed into the ground, it needs water to start and continue to grow. If it's planted beside flowing, cool streams of water, this constant, never-ending, continuously flowing stream reminds me of the Holy Spirit and the constant dance that the Holy Spirit is. And yet, so important to grasp this if we want to continue to grow. I'm constantly still learning about the Holy Spirit. In fact, Dave, this was years ago, you spoke on the Holy Spirit, and that really impacted me because before, I hadn't even given it a second thought. You know what? There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that just kind of freaks me out, and so I'm just going to ignore it. That's cool. And I mean, if any of you can relate, I don't know if you can, that's okay. But I'm here to tell you there is nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I was a little indifferent until I read this verse. If you then, you here, know how to give your children good gifts, even though you are evil, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's in Luke 11, verse 13. See how he's talking about we give good gifts. If our son asks for bread, we're not going to give him a stone. We're able to give good gifts. He doesn't say God the Father gives us better gifts. He doesn't even say he gives us really the most amazing gift of the world. He says he will give us the Holy Spirit, which is the best gift. Then I thought, well, if it's the best gift, if Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the best gift, I want that gift. I want to know more. Does that make sense? Awesome. So just like a seed needs lots of water to grow, whether from a stream or rain, this verse reminds me of that. In Matthew 3:11, yeah, I use a lot of Matthew. John the Baptist is talking to a crowd, and he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. If you look in the dictionary, to baptize means to cleanse. Just as the rain washes away any residual dirt and nourishes the garden, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and cleanses us from the inside out and nourishes our soul. Notice how I didn't say the Holy Spirit comes and judges us and says, you did this. No, he cleanses us. He loves us. He nourishes us. It's good. The next proper growing condition, so we've taken our seed full of potential, we've planted it in the good soil, we've added some rain or planted it near streams of flowing water. What else do we need? Any guesses? The sun. The sun. We love the sun. Along with the rain, obviously, we need the sunshine for plants to grow to their full potential. In this province, in Manitoba, we live in with beautiful yet short summers. We often want only the sunshine during the summer. But the rain is also important for growth. But don't we love that sunshine, though? When we're going through a hard time in our lives, it seems that things won't get better, or we can't see our way out. It's good to have hope. In Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, weeping may stay the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Why does rejoicing come in the morning? Why not at night? Because the morning brings the light of day, the sunshine, the hope that it will get better. Rejoicing comes in the morning. Another beautiful revelation that I had was when we think about it, at nighttime, when it's totally dark and we don't see the light, or even if it's really storming outside and it's really cloudy and the clouds are totally covering the sun from us, has the sun stopped shining? No. No. It never, ever, ever stops shining. The earth turns away and the clouds may come, but the sun never stops shining. It never changes. Its strength is always full. Its light always bright. See what I'm relating this to? When we have hard times and it feels like it's been cloudy, gloomy, and dark for days, literally or metaphorically, we can take hope that the sun never stops shining. Say with me once, the sun never stops shining. Same thing with God. His love never stops shining on us. Ever. We may turn away. We may hide under the bush. But his love never stops. Never. Jesus said it best in John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I like that. Never. But will have the light of life. Our God will never leave or forsake us. Never. And when we allow the clouds to come or we hide under the tree, we need only wipe away the clouds, turn our eyes to heaven and say, Lord, I'm here. Shine upon me. Shine your love on me. He is there. Always. So that is the proper growing conditions. The third point of my garden speech is direction. Can you get that YouTube video set up? Thank you. So don't play it just quite yet. I'll tell you when. So what does the world say about being successful? Well, I actually Googled being successful. And that picture, I don't know if you saw it just beforehand, of the man growing into, or the boy growing into a man with a business suit and the suitcase, and the guy running the race, yeah, fists in the air, he's got his suitcase and his suit, or his briefcase there. What does the world say about being successful? Well, it says, grow up quickly, bear much fruit of your own, have lots of money, lots of possessions. That's good. That's success. Otherwise, well, we'll kind of look down on you. But that's our picture of success, is growing up really quickly. Grow up like the plants. Am I making sense? It's good. Okay. So something that was really evident to me, now we'll look at this YouTube video, is what the garden shows about which direction is important. So you see a seed. Which way is it going? Down. It grows down. I love these time-lapse things. So now it starts to grow up. You see those other little roots starting to grow out too. All right. So, like you said, which way does the seed grow first? It grows down. It's planted deep in that soil. It has the proper growing conditions, but it goes down. It has to secure itself. It has to set that foundation. Then, even when an offshoot starts to grow upward, now the roots branch off in all directions from the main root, keep growing down, securing itself more and more. The seed continues to grow higher, and yet the roots don't stop growing, ever. In fact, the roots are much bigger and intricate than the one stalk that's growing up for everyone to see. Even though you can't see them, those roots are very crucial to the plant's success. So when I plant my garden in spring, 2 months ago, I dig the holes, put the seeds in, cover it back up, put some water on it, and now I wait. And I go out every day, and I go and look at my garden. I'm like, when is it going to show? I'm so excited. No. Day one, yeah, it just looks like dirt. Day two, same thing. Day three, well, this is boring. And it continues to look like a bunch of dirt for 2 full weeks. I'm like, come on, little seeds, let's go. Nope. Still just looks like dirt. It looks like nothing is happening. But in reality, and with the video we just saw, we know that a lot is happening. The roots are growing down and securing themselves firmly before any growth above the surface can happen. I'm going to share a little story with you guys. The world wants us to grow up and produce fruit right away. And yet we know in the kingdom of heaven, securing your roots is so important. Now, when they're securing those roots, you can't see anything on top, right? It looks like nothing. And this very much reminds me of 2 years ago, I worked at a car dealership and I sold cars, and it was good for a season, but my family needed me at home. So for our personal family decision, I decided to stop working, go home, raise the kids, be more of a wife, and to just do that. And when you run into people initially that you haven't seen in a while, and they say, "Hey, what's new?" Did not like that question. Because it seems like nothing's new. It seems like nothing's, well, I'm not making money. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Oh, don't ever say those words to me. I'm very importantly growing those roots. When I remember what my father said, that growing those roots is so important. Those daily devotions, whether they're every day or not, when that happens, when I connect with my father, when I am teaching my kids to ride a bike and I'm learning, teaching them to grow and having fun with them, that's important. Growing those roots is so important. So whether you've had that season of, okay, I'm growing down, but it doesn't really seem like anything's happening, I'm telling you, I understand. I've been there. I totally get it, but it's so important, and things are happening. It's good. That's good. When Jesus started ministering to the world, anyone know what age he was? 30! He was 30! That in of itself. Okay, let's take a moment. He was 30! That's good. I know I get restless when it takes 2 weeks for my seeds in the garden to start showing above ground. But that 2 weeks is so important. We can't rush it. In life, when we're securing our foundation, spending time in the Word and with God, it may seem like we're going nowhere, but we are indeed securing our roots, and that's so important. It took Jesus 30 years to do this. It may take us more or less time, but it's not wasted. It's not wasted. Also, very important, even when Jesus did start teaching to the people, to the large crowds, he constantly took time to get away from the crowds, even his closest friends, his disciples, to spend time in prayer with God, to continue to grow the roots stronger and stronger. Without being firmly planted in our Maker, when the storms of life come, we will be blown over. But when we are secure in who we are and what our Maker truly believes of us, it was evident, where is that? On the cross. That's what he truly believes of us. That we were worth dying for. And when we get secure in that identity, in what he did for us and what he believes of us, then we will be like this plant that I planted. I don't know if, that, probably can't see that really well. The first picture, totally to the left here, right where it starts, that's where I planted it. And you guys remember that big windstorm? Some trees got knocked over a couple weeks ago. Anyway, so the plant originally went bam, totally blew over. But because it has strong roots, when it was able to again, it turned itself and kept growing up. I mean, you can see the beautiful fruit right there, that green pepper. It's bearing fruit, even though the wind tried to knock it over. A detour, if you will. So when we have those roots, we bend with the wind, even seem knocked down, but never uprooted. In Luke 6, verse 48, it says, "You'll be like the man who wanted to build a sturdy house. He dug down deep and anchored his foundation to solid rock. During a violent storm, the floodwaters slammed against the house, but they couldn't shake it. Another verse that's really inspired me, and this speech has impacted me incredibly, is found in John 15, verses 5 to 9. You may have heard it before. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Without me, you will accomplish nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is like a branch that is tossed out and shriveled up, and is later gathered to be tossed into the fire to burn. If you abide in me, and my voice abides in you, anything you ask will come to pass for you. Your abundant growth and your faithfulness as my followers will bring glory to the Father. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. There's so much to explore in this passage, so why don't we? First of all, as we saw and see all the time, the world deems success with instant fruits such as money and possessions. The more of that, the more successful you are. But here, it clearly states that unless you are connected to the Creator, anything you do won't really matter. But let's flip that around and read the second sentence. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Not, if you come to me, things might happen. We'll see how it goes. I don't really know, though. No, you will bear great fruit. I love it. And it also has eternal meaning. When we are connected to our Creator, the things we do last forever. Instead of just money, which can literally burn, or possessions that, I mean, obviously we can take into heaven when we get there, right? No. These things are eternal. The fruit is good. If you were here when I spoke last time about really getting to know how much God loves you, then you know that that's very important to me. I still fully believe that that's the most important foundation to have and know in life, that God loves us and that nothing can ever change that. So when this verse ends here, and it says, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. That verse alone, if meditated on, can and will change your life. I know it has mine. How much God the Father loves his Son, who is perfect, blameless, and holy. That's how much Jesus loves us. Wow! Then to end it, he makes it clear. Abide in my love. This verse was made for me. To abide, you were saying it this morning, means to remain, continue, stay in, to continue in a particular relationship. God's love is so amazing, unconditional, and incredible, and yet it has to be said, abide in my love. Every time I take a moment and remember just what Jesus did for my sake, and how much he loves me, I feel incredible. I feel like I can take on the world. But then I choose to forget that. I try bearing my own fruit until I remember again, abide in my love. And that's my life's goal, to abide in his great love. Because when we do, we automatically bear great fruit. And this brings me to my last point, if you're still awake. Each seed is unique. There's a lot of different seeds out there, tons. I looked it up online. They said the types of plants and the actual type of plants, they guesstimated 400,000. And those are just the purebreds, never mind all the offshoots of all the different other kinds of plants. I mean, when I go and pick my garden things and I'm at the seed rack, there's like 10 different packages just for cucumbers, right? So there's a lot of seeds out there. And it usually, yeah, takes me a long time. Then, when we just take a look at anyone's garden, there's usually two different types of fruits and vegetables. One, we still going? Rory? Do you mind turning it back to my PowerPoint? Really? All right, that's good. I'll just talk. And you can listen. There's two different types of vegetables. Ones that bear fruit above the ground and ones that bear fruit below. The tomato plant bears fruit that you can see. It's bright. It's nice and ripe. You can see it. Oh, my tomato plant's growing a lot. Then there are different types of seeds like carrots, beets. All their fruit is underground. You can't see it. Even when we're rooted in God, and we are similar to that, some of us have gifts that produce the fruit that you can see, while others aren't flashy in appearance, and yet they carry great value deep down inside. Much more than you or I can see. But God does. He really does. A great passage that mirrors this beautifully is found in 1 Corinthians 12. I did take passages from all over that, so don't try to follow. Each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence. That gift is given for the good of the whole community. Here's what I mean. The body is not made up of one large part, but many different parts. Would it seem right for the foot to cry, "I'm not a hand, so I couldn't be part of this body"? I mean, even if it did, it wouldn't be any less joined to the body. What about an ear? If an ear started to whine, "I'm not an eye, I shouldn't be attached to this body." Imagine the entire body as an eye. How would a giant eye be able to hear? And if the entire body were an ear, how would the ear be able to smell? This is where God comes in. God has meticulously put this body together. He placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function he wanted. If all members were a single part, where would the body be? So now, many members function within the one body, but God designed the body in such a way that greater significance is given to the seemingly insignificant part. That way, there should be no division in the body. Instead, all the parts mutually depend on and care for one another. Here's the rub. You are the body of the anointed, the liberating king. Each and every one of you is a vital member. Do you ever see a beet trying to be a tomato? Do you ever see celery trying to be a potato? Do they whine and complain, "I want to be a tomato"? No, they're vegetables. They can't talk. They are what they are. And they grow exactly how they were made to, easily and without strain. A carrot seed grows into a healthy carrot. Same with a squash seed into a healthy squash plant. Life would be so easy if we all found our gift in God and did it to the best of our ability. But we really can live this way with God's help, of course. We were all made differently, even twins, with different giftings and abilities. In this day, age, and society, we so very quickly compare ourselves to everyone around us, our neighbors, the celebrities on TV, our mentors, our friends, our family. We constantly compare. And every single time we compare ourselves to anybody, we lose. We lose. We have to. We'll feel insecure, we'll feel worthless, we'll feel less than, because we are comparing apples to oranges. Pun intended. Just like the hand whining because it's not the foot is foolish, so it is with us comparing ourselves to anyone. Are we getting this? God made us unique, just like every seed is unique. And we need to find out what it is and embrace it fully. Whether it's to clean toilets joyfully, whether it's to be the stay-at-home mom, whether it's to be the encouraging friend, whether it's to be the rock star, whether it's to be the pastor or the person who sits in the pew, whatever it is, whatever God made you to be it fully. It's good. We need you. The body needs every part to function, or it will be sick. If the whole world was an apple tree, we'd get pretty sick of apples quickly. Every plant is necessary, and even more so, each and every one of you is a vital member. All right, we're going to close here. So just to go recap real quick, number one, our potential is just like that seed, that tiny little seed. It's already in you. God put it all in you. And when we take that seed, we need those proper growing conditions. We plant it in the soil. We take time with our loving Heavenly Father. And we add the water, the Holy Spirit, to move around us, to teach us, to cleanse us. And we add the sun and know that the sun never stops shining, that God never leaves or forsakes us. And even when we have that little seed, which direction does it go first? Down. It secures itself nice and tight to the Creator. And when it does, it will grow up strong. And each seed is unique and valued, and the same goes for us. I could probably write 10 more speeches on planting and growing and stuff, but this is for today. And I hope that God has spoke to you in some small way, even in some small little piece, and just leave here knowing that you are unique and valued and loved. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are, the sun that never stops shining. I turn my face to you and I say, shine on. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your love. And I pray a blessing upon all the people here, Lord, every child, every baby, every woman, every man, that they would feel your presence and go out knowing that they are made for a good purpose. You made them in your image. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.